going to read an excerpt from a short story I wrote. It's called The Sleep Observer. And it's about a guy who watches people sleep. That's all you need to know. Marcia poured me a cup of coffee. In between two short sips, I asked where the husband was hidden. She said that Nathaniel would be coming back in a few minutes. He was a banker, and sometimes bankers must stay late inside the bank. I only have two eyes and one head, I told Marcia. I'll have to spy on each of you separately. I'll have to make you sleep in separate beds tonight. This is how I do my work, Marcia. I hope you don't have a problem with that. She said no, she didn't. Good, I said. Marcia wore her hair in a bun. Gracefully, she bent her neck and unraveled it. She exhaled. Her eyes were on the verge of shutting. It seemed she was ready to sleep right there in front of me. After I finished my remarks, a man in a suit and tie opened the door. He walked into the living room. Call me Nathan, he said. I repeated to Nathan what I told Marcia, except speedily, and when I spoke to Nathan, I looked over to Marcia. Hoped she would be interested in what I had to say. This was the second spin of the same wheel, but her eyes crossed faithfully to me. When I finished, I said I needed one more thing. May I use your bathroom? Inside the bathroom, I commandeered the curtains to enclose myself and felt the comings of cold bounce over me. I was naked, for a moment, for enough time to shower and also be at home. Finally, on the fog-through mirror, I rubbed a big enough oval to surround the face. I said something. I don't remember what I said. I only recall how my lips looked when I spoke, how my face leaped into glass and I smiled. When I left the bathroom, it was 11 o'clock and the right time to begin my study. First, I told Nathan he would sleep outside the room. Is that all right, I said. He told me, to my pleasure, that there were no worries. Where are you going to go, I asked. He said he was going to sleep in the garage. That's pretty far, I said. That's not too far, he replied. I can hear sometimes into my house from the garage. You must have good ears, I said. I have excellent ears, he replied. The ears of a bat. After Nathan and Nathan's bat-like ears left, with plenty of warm blue blankets to sleep peacefully and dreamfully, Marcia invited me into the closet. We were eye to eye there. What can you tell me, she asked. What can I tell you about yourself, I said. Well, I can tell you if you pick your nose at night. Well, a videotape can tell me that, but I can tell you more, I said. I can mark the times for you, and then I'll be a sunny face for you when you wake up. I bite myself, Marcia said. See? She held up her arms. There were teeth marks, little red columns all over her. Yes, I see, I said. Those are something else. I can see those up close, and when I'm there with you in the flesh, I can even see why. I can size up your unguarded self too well. I'll be an outside presence to your subconscious, I continued. I'll be there to enforce sleep discipline. Dressed in an elegant red robe, one that reminded me of a courtesan's picture in an old history book of mine, Marcia slipped into bed. Everything about her bedroom was crisp. Her sheets were clean, yellow, and clean. I inhaled the air around her bedroom. I told Marcia that she needed to sleep. Now, I said. Marcia fell asleep by me because I can sense absence through streets and fence posts and also in people's bones. Here was an absent woman in front of me, laid out like an eel. Her true self had been let go, because when she slept, she had a free head. I was in bliss. She turned away, at 12:15 or thereabouts, in a slow, gentle roll. The gentle roll reflected her gentle spirit, and her love for her sheets, her bed, her blue-draped window. There were more things around to love, and she probably loved them all. Quietly, I walked around to the other side of the bed. It was drafty, so I softly eked the window shut while thinking of Nathan's ears. They're bigger than I would like, sensitive enough to listen to doors and walls and hallways from the garage on the other side of the house. Thoughts like this worried me, but then there was angelic Marcia all there in her bed to distract me and quietly thrill me. She had long brown hair, and her hair would gradually accumulate into a mess through the night. All women are delicate in this way, I found. Sleep unravels, but Marcia, somehow, was still remarkable. I had waited lifetimes to sit near her. Marcia woke up that morning, pleasant and smiling and filled with sleep's wonder. I held her hand as she climbed out of bed, then I watched her as she walked to the shower. I stood outside the bathroom, listening to the hail of what must be warm water, thinking of what she had touched. She had touched my hand, and she had touched the doorknob, and she had touched her hair. The truth is that Marcia is a beauty, and I never want to leave her castle. It is too nice out here. The television is wide. LCD. I was very happy to be around Marcia, very happy to be alone with her, and I forgot that Nathan even existed, that he was her husband, that he was sleeping just a few feet away in her garage with the red Toyota. This all changed when I found him in the dining room, bent over the table, eating toast and cereal. I didn't know what to say. I wanted to shoot him, use my hand to wave the direction he would follow, which would lead him far away from here, and into the heart of a canyon, or the gut of a dungeon, the eye of the sun. But I did not choose.